You are listening to Make It Plain with my father, Masamela Matfumo.
Top of the hour, 5 minutes after to be exact. It's Women's Wednesday. The women! Lots of women! Binders full of women, as Mitt Romney would say.
Creepy.
I was going to do a rap song, make fun of Mitt Romney. In 2012, the whole binders thing.
You were gonna do a rap song?
Yeah, it was gonna be a kind of a, you know, parody of Mitt Romney. Could make fun of him.
Cool.
Binders full of women, and I had Zerlina's advice on it. She was like, "No."
All right. Well, there goes that.
Got these binders full of women in my office. So anyway,
I hope I'm not in a binder in anyone's office. Truly, truly.
It's Women's Wednesday. What's up? Brittany Temple, who was pretty popular last week with Women's Wednesday. We had her up on Facebook Live and she got more views than I've gotten in a while.
So that's not true.
So we won't be. Yeah, you did. Did really? You look how many views you got? So
I
we won't be
look.
Doing that again.
You say we won't be doing that again? Well, yeah, it's perfect that you say that because you're leading into the conversation. Just, you know, you're really setting me up nicely.
Okay. Well, let's not get let's not mess up the setup. What's up? What are we talking about today?
We are talking about Google today. Google has a very full plate right now. and they've got a little bit of everything on there. They got all the food groups. They've got a class action lawsuit against them, a legal battle with the federal government, a controversial employee memo, and the memo's author, who is also now a former employee as of 2 days ago, acting in retaliation.
Mm.
But the type of conversation in regards to women in the workplace, women in tech, and the conditions for women in tech is not a new conversation. A few months ago, I talked about Susan Fowler and her harrowing experience at Uber as an engineer. And then we saw their CEO step down a couple months ago amid scandals over sexual harassment and just an aggressive culture at Uber in general. Even a couple years ago, there was Ellen Powell's well-known gender discrimination lawsuit, which was against Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers. That was in 2015 for gender discrimination. So this is a problem that perhaps has been lurking under the surface and is now really just coming to a head as we see the tech world exploding in all different directions, and we see this battle between trying to really create diverse workplaces and dealing with people within those workplaces who are not keen to that type of advancement, who are not in favor of diversity. Even if they say it out loud, they don't actually believe it, trust it, or want to be a part of it for that matter. James Damore, he was a software engineer for Google until 2 days ago, as I just said. And what had brought his tenure there to an end was a 10-page memo he wrote on a Google message board, which he literally blamed biological differences between men and women for the shortage of women in both tech and leadership. So before we get into the details of the story, I'm putting the question out there to all of you, and Mark, you can answer this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think technology is such a hostile field for women. And if there's any women in tech out there who are experiencing it themselves or have experienced it in the past, or if you're a male who has witnessed it, or are you a male who thinks women shouldn't be working in tech? Call me up. Let's talk about it. I want to hear what your reasons are. You know, if you disagree, I want to talk about it anyway. I want to hear why you think that, why you might agree with this James Damore guy, who actually believes that it is our genetic makeup that is the reason that women are not holding these positions and not reaching the same numbers. Or what do you think it is going to take to bring about diversity in the workplace that operates smoothly? You know, we see women getting ahead more, not as frequently, but more. But there are roadblocks along the way, a lot of bumps, as evidenced in this conversation that we're having right now. Do you think that there's more tolerance, less tolerance in your field? What are your concerns, whether you're a male or female? Or even if you're a progressive male, maybe you actually struggle to relate to women. Even though you might say you value a woman's intelligence and her capabilities, you still see yourself shortchanging them in the trust department in the workplace, whether you don't supply them with the same types of responsibilities or opportunities in an almost subconscious fashion. What is the reason for that? Tell me about that. 866-99-SERIOUS, 866-997-4748.
So just to reiterate, folks, she's asking me, she's also asking you, not just me, why do women have such a tough time in tech? We could probably expand that to all the STEM fields, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
Yes.
And why do you think that is? Is that fair? Do you agree? Because I think what this does, honestly, get back to, and what this subtly, because there are still subtle codes in all of this. Last week we talked about affirmative action. And when Kaylee came on and we talked about, and I talked about with Terry O'Neill over the weekend, you know who the biggest beneficiaries of affirmative action are? Black people are the target and the poster children and the flashpoint. But you know who the biggest beneficiaries of affirmative action are? And that's white women.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that when people say we hate affirmative action, black people, that's still a slick way to get in women too.
Yes.
And what both Kylie Joy Gray and Terry O'Neill said to me over the course of the past few days on the air and off the air was that white women need to also stand up and defend affirmative action.
Yes.
And not, you know, just benefit from the down low, on the down low from it. So to me, this is still an assault on affirmative action hiring when you release a manifesto like this. He may not have used the words affirmative action, which is probably smart on his part because he wants to throw people off. But that's what I'm here to make it plain and show y'all how this all tied together. This ain't disparate, all right? So give us your thoughts about that. And of course, other fields that some of you in is still tough. You asked me the question.
Yeah.
Let me respond for it. But folks, I want to hear from you now. 866-99-SERIOUS. Maxine will read our interview with her at 8 and top of the next hour, so stay tuned. Nayera's going to join us shortly, too. So I think just what he said, people think women are not smart. That's that simple.
Oh, absolutely.
That y'all are just not smart. Y'all can't do what we do. Y'all are emotional. You know, like, you know how many people still think women can't drive?
It's a knee-jerk reaction to assume that mentally we are less capable. It really is. I mean, and I've had this conversation with men and women before, women sympathizing and men confused, and some come to the understanding that you can't, as a man, you can't say to a woman that it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist because it's the women who are going to work every day, who are going through their lives and are constantly met with people who are questioning their intelligence. And I say people because it's women too. Women are just as likely to be discriminatory to other women in the workplace, especially when it comes right. to a woman who wants to get ahead, who is aggressive in her pursuit of success. You're often met with other women who will want to take that away from you.
Yeah. That's the internalized depression.
Yes.
That we see. But what is amazing to me, quarter past hour, and you know, in the context of a world in which we live, where we all may perish in nuclear Armageddon before the week is out, that's just how stupid things are. This is equally stupid. What did I just say? Many people think that women are not as smart as men.
Mm-hmm.
But it is documented and documented and documented and documented that y'all do better in school than us all the time. So some things are racist and sexist, clearly, but that is also born because of severe mental illness. I cannot see you making good. All of us have been in school. Let's be real now. Who made the good grades in school? We've been in school together, y'all. Who was making all the good grades? Who do we ask to help us do our homework?
Not me.
Then we grow up. Oh, these women are stupid. But the grades are better. They surpass us. We lunching. Women often mature more quickly than us.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you going to be on your birthday? 29.
29.
Now, a female friend of mine told me, said, I'm 50 chronologically. But she says in dog years, as a man, that's what she calls it, because she says men are less developed than women. That's how she thinks the opposite. We're less developed. She says in dog years, you and I are close in age.
Right. Exactly. The emotional maturity of a woman is much greater than a man on average.
So we were the same age chronologically. You would be 29 and I would be 19. Big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know people won't get offended by that, but I mean, I'm joking, of course, but that's what, you know, there's a lack of, and everybody knows that. So it is completely idiotic for someone to suggest that a woman is not smart enough to do a job anywhere.
And what also bothered me the most about this memo is that he puts all the blame of women not having these types of roles and not having the same numbers as men in these fields on what, I'm sorry, let me read the quote, that they have more openness directed towards feelings and aesthetics rather than ideas. Women generally also have stronger interest in people rather than things relative to men.
This is the more.
This is direct quote from the memo. Mm-hmm. He also wrote that women have more neuroticism, higher anxiety, lower stress tolerance. This may contribute to higher levels of anxiety. Women report on Googlist, which is an annual company survey, and to the lower number of women in high stress jobs. This suggestion is actually dangerous because it completely detracts from the frequency at which women are harassed at work by both men and women when they are trying to get ahead. And it doesn't take into account the fact that women are actually perceived negatively. The research is there that the women are perceived negatively when they are aggressive and anger is too emotional and, or, you know, there's all sorts of horrible words that become associated with a woman when she is an aggressive businesswoman or engineer, whatever
right.
field it may be.
Right. And that word neurotic.
Ugh.
Is very, you know, I didn't always know that. Years ago in my younger days, when I was even younger than you, I was working and there was a woman working with us and all the men used to call her neurotic.
Hmm.
And at the time, I wasn't aware how sexist that was. You learn a lot of things as you get old. I've never heard a man called neurotic.
Exactly.
I have never once heard of a man referred to as neurotic or emotional for that matter. When's that time y'all heard a man called neurotic or emotional?
It's very hard to pinpoint. I don't have anything from my memory bank, but as far as in on the flip side, I can think of many situations in which a woman was referred to as both.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this dude. See, and again, I'm telling y'all, as I've said before, what I've always said, stuff always boils down a lot of times to the personal. There's yes. something going on with this dude that he has a problem with women.
And the funny part is,
I bet he's been rejected.
Oh, right. But
stuff ain't complicated.
CNBC, I believe it was, contacted him for comment.
God.
And he said that he was fired for perpetuating stereotypes. So if he can say that for what it is, then how that confused me, because it's like, if that's what you believe, then why are you openly saying that you are just spreading a stereotype? And then he actually, so on the flip side, again, he is now coming back at Google. He filed a complaint.
Right. He's going to do reverse discrimination now.
Saying that he was fired for dissenting political opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not dissenting political opinions. He wrote 10 pages on how women have biological differences that prevent them from reaching the same amount of employment numbers in the tech industry. What about that is a dissenting political opinion?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We work along conservative people every day. We talk with Patriot employees regularly. I've lived with and loved conservatives in my family and outside of my family. And I've had heated debates and conversations. It's never turned into a hostile environment. And every person who remains in my life as a friend, acquaintance, family member, or whatever, that has differing political values has never made it a hostile environment. The floor is open for conversation, but respect is the standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
This letter is disrespect.
Yeah, yeah. 866-99-SIRIUS. Women's Wednesday. Brittany's here. Let's get a couple of reactions. Your reaction to this Google manifesto, this Google memo, as it's called, and your thoughts about women in tech and STEM fields in general, and why it's so difficult for them to succeed and be respected and be treated equally. Pat's in Cali. Pat, God bless you. Good morning. Get woke. Get ready for impeachment. Welcome to Women's Wednesday.
Good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. The comment I was going to make, I'm a Latin in the tech fields. I've been in it since the mid-80s. And what I've seen through my career and through school and through colleges is a lack of representation with women. There isn't a lack of ability in the women, it's just a lack of representation. And what I've seen through high school and before that is there's a systemic problem where we are pushing women out of the tech fields. And it's not just, it's schools, it's peer pressure. It's the same thing that a lot of Latins do feel within the tech field. It's not our place to be in.
Absolutely, and I think that it's a vicious cycle. Women, their ability is doubted, and that contributes to the lack of representation. And then those young girls going now, say that class grows up, and then there's another set of young girls in high school choosing their careers. They lack the they don't see any representation. It happens with both women and especially women of color. They are the representation. It's not visible. They don't have the role models that they relate to. That matters. It matters a lot. And it's just a continuous cycle with, you know, there's always a few that puncture through and manage to make it in an industry that is not working in their favor, but it's a struggle. And men just simply don't have that. It just does not exist. They have challenges, you know, that in school and applying for jobs that, you know, are kind of commonplace, I would call them. But they don't have they're not immediately put at a disadvantage because of their gender, and women are.
Yes, and that, and one of the things that is looking better is if you see there is more and more STEM activities for younger girls. There's camps that are being created. It's going to take a while to get these get people in there and for society to decide that this is an acceptable field for women, because right now we're just keeping them down, and it's the number of candidates that I have to choose from is small, and every woman that has I've either worked for or work with or have worked for me has done an outstanding job because they're prepared to do what is in that field, but there's just not enough of them.
Yeah, it does have to start younger, a lot younger for that matter. Women really do need to be encouraged to participate in the sciences and technology, and be given access. Access is huge, and it's, I think, access, representation go hand in hand in this conversation. And I think it bleeds into all sorts of industries. You know, like, we work in media. I think it can be argued that we don't see a whole lot of diversity happening in media. I mean, we see the struggles that, say, women face when they are, when women in sports media, for example. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. The way Aaron Andrews is treated, as opposed to the countless men who do commentary on various sports. I mean, it's just, they need to, we lack encouragement, representation, and accessibility. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Sammy's in New Jersey. Sammy, God bless you. Good morning. Get well, get ready for impeachment. Welcome to Women's Wednesday.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi. I'm an engineer. I've been working for over 20 years. And you're right, there's not that many women in engineering. And it does start young. I remember girls who were better at math than me in middle school. And their moms would say, "I'll grow up to be a secretary so you can marry a nice rich man or something." Mm. And I'd be like, "What?" You know, I'm like, grow up and do your own job, you know. So It's definitely parental influence, because I had a friend, she was better than me in math. And she started doing the other, you know, route, you know, and I don't know what she wound up doing when she grew up. My father did try to discourage me from going into engineering. He is an engineer. But he was thinking about it more in terms of family and work life. It is a tough industry, and he wanted me to be a pharmacist so I could have a bodega and you know, raise my kids while I worked. And I said, "Who are you? You know, a sexist pig." You know, I loved him, but I was mad at him. So I did engineering more to show him I could do it.
Well, good.
And I'm like practically the only woman in my building right now, that I work at a data center. Besides the cleaning lady.
Wow.
Everybody else in the building are men. And I've been fortunate. I've worked in companies, and everybody I've worked with has been great. I did have bad incidences in the past. But I think one of the things, too, that is hard for women is going on leave and having kids, not because the work won't let them come back, but it's almost like once you start taking more than 6 months off work or even a year, it gets harder to get back on track in an engineering program than it would be in a lot of other careers.
But do you think that's because
outdated and stuff?
Do you think that's because companies make it more difficult to transition back into projects or back into work itself, and don't really cater to that situation? Because I think that you know, maternity leave really needs reform in itself, let alone the way that women are treated once they enter back into the workplace. So
I think it has something to do with it, because I was able to take 6 months off. I had saved money so that I could do that. I mean, one of the things that's an advantage of being in engineering is you can save more money. I had enough saved that I could go for a few months without working, and because we didn't get paid parental leave. I mean, it would have been great. I would have loved to have taken a year off. And
right.
It was hard to get back into work just leaving my kids.
Yeah.
But I had to do it, you know, because I'm not, you know, independently wealthy. We both work.
Mm-hmm.
But the it would have been nice to have something where, you know, you could take a year off and come back to work. And you know, it's harder. I have women I knew growing up who were engineers and stayed home to raise their kids and just never came back into the industry. And I have coworkers who've taken off and never came back to work, you know, because they took 5 years off.
Right.
You know, and like once you start getting that far out on the industry, it's harder to get yourself back in.
I think that's disappointing. And it shouldn't be that way. We especially in politics and certain sections of the government claim to really value motherhood and you know, we're limited in our access to Planned Parenthood and certain resources that kind of, you know, force us in the direction of motherhood should that situation not be a planned one. And yet we make it impossible for women to actually spend that time with their newborn and make it even harder for them to re-enter the workforce. I mean, sounds a little suspicious to me. I don't know about anyone else out there, but
I think that's also, you know, it's not a woman's ability. If somebody has to take a hit in the family, and it tends to be women.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be. I mean, I think the new generations are getting better about it. I, you know, some husbands I know and some couples are like, I'm going to take care of the kids.
Right.
You know, so it depends. It's becoming more of what somebody in the family has to take that hit. You know,
but again, it's still the discrimination, because if a man takes paternity leave,
mm-hmm.
he can still go back to work and
usually assimilates without issue.
Right.
And
the technology didn't pass him by either.
And everyone thinks it's so, the dad got to stay home. And, you know, it's like it's glorified. And yet a woman has a grueling experience. Just, you know, that's amazing that you got to take 6 months. I know women who have not been afforded as much and had 2, maybe 3 months. I know friends who are teachers who plan their entire pregnancy around trying to have their child so that they can have the kid at the beginning of the summer, so they can have the summertime and finagle a few extra months at the beginning of the school year with their child. It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
It shouldn't. I agree. I mean, I remember, I come from a generation where my mom had another set of kids when I was a teenager. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but but she had to quit her job. She worked for the state. She was a social worker. And when she got pregnant and they gave her a nice baby shower, but that was it.
Yeah.
She, you know, so she.
Here's your cookie cake. See you later.
Yeah. You know, so I guess I always grew up with the idea, I'm going to get back to work. I can't take too much time off.
Right. Right.
6 months is a luxury. I wish I'd have had a year. And I feel so bad for women who have to go straight back to work.
Yeah.
You know,
the thought of taking off that much time.
Yahoo executive who popped her kid out and said, and didn't want to take maternity leave and said, well, I don't think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sort of like trying to set the bar for other people to like just pop your kid out and go back to work.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, I had a C-section. I wasn't going to go back to work.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I think if somebody wants to do that, that's your prerogative. But I think there are a lot of women who want to spend a year at least with a newborn baby. I mean, if you just visualize this tiny little human and, you know, I can't imagine. I don't have any children. I can't imagine the emotional turmoil I would feel going back to work when I feel like I've just had a minute with this. I just grew this thing in my person, and now I get 1/3 of the time that it took to even grow that person to a full form human that I can bring into the world. I get 1/3 of that time to
reclaim my time.
Yeah. Yay, that fits. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then the other thing too is it doesn't hit you. I had a babysitter who was going to come back with her kid to work. And I said, I don't think you're going to feel that way when you have a baby, because I didn't feel that way. I was all set to come back. No problem. And then once I had my kid, it was very hard. That separation was very painful.
Yeah.
And she quit. know, and I understood why she quit. You know, I respected that she quit because I was like, you know, I would do the same thing if I could afford it too. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but one last thing, because I have to get back to work. The whole thing with that guy, the Google thing.
Yeah.
I think there's more going on with that. Because the guy is a champion chess player. He filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board before he did his memo. And a lot of, you know, I'm thinking he did it over the top and he was trying to provoke an incident.
Yeah, that, I agree with you. I think he planned it.
I think there's some shady things with him, because also I just saw this morning Nicholas Thompson, who's the editor-in-chief over at Wired, he posted something that said, on his LinkedIn profile, Damore lists a PhD in systems biology from Harvard in 2013. However, a representative from Harvard tells Wired that Damore did not complete a PhD. He completed a master's degree in systems biology in 2013. So there's something going on with this guy. I think that this is just the beginning. I think it's Google has a long road ahead.
But you know, Sammy, you said it too, because that crossed my mind too, that he may have been trying to set Google up. And, you know, so maybe Google should have been a little more creative in terms of how they handled him and responded to him. Because I think he was trying to provoke
that. They're subject to a lawsuit right now, and he's trying to do, like, the reverse.
Yeah, and see, because we just did this story, was it Monday? Well, I forget. I can't remember what the days are.
Today's
Wednesday. About how all, no, I think we did it on Monday with the Washington Post people. Was it Monday? Was Monday or Friday? It was Friday. I don't know.
One of the past few days.
He don't know either. But the point I'm making is we just did, the Washington Post did this big expose about how when they fire these police officers, there are all these loopholes in arbitration and labor relations to get them back. So and this cat is going to work this. So Google probably should have been smart in the way that they handled him. See, I would have, the reaction is, well, let's fire him. But I would have called him and said, no, wait a minute, hold. Let's figure out if we can do this another way. Because he's trying to, you know, he's trying to get us to hurt ourselves. Somebody like that, you have to set up to hurt themselves.
Well,
and expose themselves. And that's what I would have done. I would have set this dude up. I just would have reversed the setup. Reverse, you got to reverse that. That's what you got
to
do.
Well, I think that there's stuff coming out on this guy. So I think that we have more to see from him and the situation in general. I mean, like I said, Google is literally dealing with four different things right now that are negative legally.
Yes.
One last thing. I was fortunate that I came into the telecom industry, and back in the 70s, it was really, really bad. You know, in the telecom industry, you know, Ma Bell and stuff. They were very, very sexist. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the mail clerks, when they would deliver the mail to the engineers' offices, the engineers would put the mailboxes on the floor so the girls would have to bend down, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And there was a class action lawsuit, and the women won. And there was, over the next 20 years, there was a lot of training that engineers had to go through in the telecom industry to, you know, work on the diversity and everything. And I think that made it fortunate for me when I got into the industry, because it was a more professional environment. I mean, I've been in smaller companies where it's a locker room. When you have too many men, it becomes a locker room. The language is bad and all that stuff.
Right.
And when you know, it's a professional environment, it's an easier place to work.
Sammy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sammy.
How old did you say you are?
She didn't.
I'm 51.
Yeah, but see, I tricked her. See, she did it.
No, I'm okay with it. I was just like, you know, I joke because I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. Yeah. But, you know.
Don't say that. I'm 50. Don't say you so old. I'm 50. And, you know, we still, you know, got it going on.
That's right.
All right. Enjoy your
Thanks
day.
Thanks so much, Sammy.
Enjoy your day. I got to go. Actually, we out of time. Tom, give me 30 seconds because I got to roll. Nayara's waiting. And so real quick, Tom, God bless you. Good morning. Get well. Get ready for impeachment. Welcome to Women's Wednesday. Real quick, Tom.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, let's remember when the word computer was almost synonymous with women.
That's right. You were computers. The original computers were women. Because that's literally what you computed. That's what the whole movie's about. What's the movie? About the women in NASA. Hidden Figures. Those were computers because they computed. Computer did not become a physical inanimate object until after women were no longer called computers. Thank you, Tom. My God.
Thanks, Tom.
And Linda Lovelace and others were brilliant software engineers.
Right. And so it's blasphemous to say women can't be in tech Damone, because women were the original computers.
Damone.
And it helped start the computer industry by designing software. Look up Linda Lovelace and others. And yes, computers weren't the creative engineer types, but they definitely knew how to do hardcore math.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
But that just speaks to the whole thing of when there is an uprising, the wave of backlash is just as fierce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, can I say something?
Yes, you may.
I know we got to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. Maybe I shouldn't, because it's Women's Wednesday. It's your segment. It's going to be very controversial. So maybe I shouldn't say it.
No, now I have to hear it.
So what we're witnessing in the tech field is the same thing we witness in every other field.
Mm-hmm.
When America was an agricultural economic society, when the jobs were in agriculture, because that's all we were, agrarian.
Mm-hmm.
After slavery, people fought African Americans being self-determining in an agricultural agrarian economy. They didn't want us to own farms then and plantations.
Mm-hmm.
When it moved to an industrial society, manufacturing, cars and everything else, big industry, big cities, smokestacks, what happened? They fought that too. They didn't want African Americans and women to have jobs in industry. So this is a new industry now, tech. We've gone from agrarian to manufacturing to tech. And they don't want people of color and women in this industry either. So there's always this fight. Whenever there's a new industry, because all those other industries are obsolete, coal, Trump, that's over. Coal's over. Through with coal. Got to move on. You're fighting for something that's over. You know, you may as well be fighting to, you know, keep horse and buggy.
Yeah.
Coal. This is the latest industry, so we can't have women, can't have people of color, can't have women who are also people of color at the same time and everything else. So that's it. So whenever there's the industry, then that's what they have to push. And don't think it's not timed, again, to coincide with this assault on affirmative action and with that movie, because folk got scared of that movie. What? Women were computers? Women did this? No, they can't have that. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Women's Wednesday with Brittany Temple. Nayara Hawk, former State Department Secretary, joins us now. We'll take a quick break. Don't go away. Sirius XM Progress 127, Resistance Radio. In the top of the hour, Maxine. We will re-air our interview with Maxine from this morning in case you missed it, because it was all of that and a bag of chips, as they say. Resistance Radio, get woke, get ready for impeachment. This is MIP.